has done a very good job of dealing with certain aspects of this world, but not others. And so there are some aspects that, if you understood them, you would see how powerful this gospel is for the church and what the church is all about. I think the misunderstanding lies not in the world, but in the church. Let's look at Luke chapter 22. Let's begin at 23, verse 23, 22, 23. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. He had just announced his body and his blood was necessary, and that someone was going to betray him. Now, this seemingly will have no relation to what he's about to say. So whenever you run across something that doesn't make sense, and God wrote it, you're the one that's confused, not God. And so waste the time. Take the time. Don't just say, "Oh, well, I'll get it." It's true. God isn't going to send you to hell for that. But you're going to miss out on something very rich when it doesn't make any sense to you, and then the Holy Spirit reveals it. Then all of a sudden your eyes are open. You realize, I needed to know that. I should have known that. No, so listen carefully. You're talking about, who's going to betray him, and who's at table with him that would betray him. Who among the disciples would do that? And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. So who's the worst? Who's the greatest? I mean, that was something they were really discussing. Now, there's 12 of us. I wonder which one is the worst. Who's going to betray him? I mean, of us. And then who is the best? I mean, that's another good topic. Who's the best? Who's the worst? Every family does this. Mom doesn't like you. And then dad thinks I'm his favorite. And kids just will do that naturally. There's a natural inclination on the part of everyone to find out who's the best and who's the worst. And we just seem to have our balance that way. Those are the bad guys. Those are the good guys. And so that's a natural human tendency. But Jesus is going to knife across it. One of them will betray him. We know who it is. And as to who the best is, that one's more difficult, isn't it? Because we know that Judas betrayed him. So we know that filled in that category. But this next category is très intéressant. It's extremely interesting. It's very, very interesting. And he said to them, knowing, I mean, they didn't say anything. He just knew what they were thinking. He knew exactly what men are thinking at all times. That's amazing. He knows exactly what I'm up to. I mean, I hadn't even thought it out loud yet. I just thought it quietly. And he already knows exactly what they're thinking. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that the Lord who made us actually knows everything about us? It's amazing. Even before it comes out into a word, he's already figured out the thought. He knows. So he knew exactly what they were thinking. Who's the best? Who's the worst? All that stuff. Because it's natural with men. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles. Now, who are the kings of the Gentiles? This is so powerful. Who are the kings of the Gentiles? The word king is actually basileia in the Greek. It means king. So it's not president, but actually king, president, ruler, magistrate. They're all included in this. But nevertheless, in Jesus' day, they had kings. But they also had emperors. But they also had, like the Jews in particular, they had a king, but he wasn't a Davidic king. So that was an interesting one. Like, who is the king of the Jews? And Pilate later is going to ask Jesus specifically that question. Are you the king of the Jews? Not are you a king, but are you the king of the Jews? You're Davidic. You know, my advisors tell me you're out of the royal house of David, Bethlehem and all that. Are you the king of the Jews? And, you know, he was interested because there was a king, Herod. Even Pilate was smart enough to figure out, wait a minute, now Herod is an Edomite, a Palestinian. You know, he's in the Palestine area, but he's not the legit guy. You might be the legit guy. And that's what a lot of people are saying, frankly. And I'm just going to ask you flat off, because I have no stake in this deal. Are you the king of the Jews? Now, Jesus could well have said, you betcha. And I'm here to, you know, get my soldiers going, and I'm not going to let you Romans take over and so on. But Jesus wasn't even interested in that topic. He had no interest in that topic. And he never said he was the king of the Jews. But they wrote that. Remember, Pilate even wrote that. This is the king of the Jews. Wrote it in three languages, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. He wrote it in three languages. So we know that the Jews were saying he's trying to make himself king. And they told Pilate, don't say he is the king, just say he's trying to make himself king. But actually, Jesus never claimed to be king of the Jews. There's a very simple reason why. He wasn't. He wasn't the king of the Jews. Why? This is so interesting. Why isn't Jesus the king of the Jews? Of course he was. They wrote that on his title. King of the Jews. He died under that. That was the reason they indicted him. Because he was king of the Jews. He wrote that right on his title. And it's the only thing that was written up on the cross was king of the Jews. You know, do I have that written up there? No. Well, I should write that up there. I'll write that up there now. King of the Jews, what does it mean? I'll write it in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew so you can see it. It would mean that he was a king over an ungodly people. How could he be king of the Jews when the Jews are ungodly? Not only was he not the king of the Jews, they were the ones handing him over. And that's what Pilate was kind of like checking in on. It's like, how come your own people think you're a tyrant? You're a bad guy. Are you, in fact, the king of the Jews? How come your own people and your defenders, are they going to fight for you or what? Are you going to appeal to Rome, me, to help you? Because I don't like that other fellow. Maybe you and I can make a deal. Are you the king of the Jews? It's a great question. But Jesus could not have... Jesus was king of kings and lord of lords. He could easily have said, I'm the king of everybody. Or I'm the king of the Jews. You know, they're part of me. He didn't say that. It isn't because he isn't. It's that he can't be a king over somebody who's ungodly. It'd be like saying, are you the lord of the church? And the church is full of ungodly people. Well, he couldn't say it. I'm the lord of the church. If he said it, it would have to mean I'm the lord over the real church, not the hypocritical, nominal, name-only church. They call itself a church, but they're not a church. That's why God doesn't defend the church. It's not his. Why would he defend that which is not his? He can only defend that which is holy, righteous, true, pure, us. Amen? I mean, he can sort through and figure out who in the church is really the church and who's not. He's the judge of it. Let judgment begin in the household of God. So in the house, he has a right to throw out or keep in. Get out. Stay in. You know, he has the right. He's the king. He's the Lord. He's the owner. He's the master. Or is at least, if he were not, the king. And this is important. He's at least the trustee of the king. The steward of the king. The king's steward. Like Pharaoh was Pharaoh, but Joseph was his steward. So that's interesting. Who, then, is king? And should a king be a king or should he be a steward? You're not following, so I want you to follow carefully because everybody gets it mixed up. Everybody, everybody, everybody. They're getting it mixed up. And I'm going to clarify it, not because I'm smart. I'm not smart. It's just that I read the Bible. That's about it. I just paid attention to the Bible. I'm not smart. You can learn everything I know easily. And I'll share what it is, and then you can check it out and see if I'm right or wrong. All right. We need new erasers that don't have all that stuff on it. All right, now, I've taught this many, 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 many times, but it is so correct that even though I'm not listened to or paid close attention to, it's still good. Let's see, here's one. All right, now, here's God. Here's God. I'll put a crown up there. That's God. And here is what I'll call the whole world. Okay? Which one is God? This one. So I'll put up here God. And you know God has a left hand and a right hand and all that, but I'm not going to get into that. I just for right now, I just want to talk about the nation, which is left. Okay, here, the whole world. But since it's a nation, I'm not going to talk about God being over the whole world. I'm just talking over the nation. It could be many nations. It could be all nations because he's king of kings. So, here, who is king here? Who is the royal one? Who's the ruler? Who is the sovereign? Sometimes they call it king a sovereign. Who's the sovereign means the highest supreme power, authority, ruler. Okay, so who, this would be the earthly king. This is the heavenly upstairs, earthly. Here's the heavenly, heaven. All right, now, heaven. All right, so that's upstairs. This is downstairs. Now, a king is an owner. If you're a king, you have a domain. A dome is a house, domus, domicile. So your dome is your house. Your kingdom is your kingdom, that is, the house over which. So Pharaoh, the Pharaoh is really, who's the head of the house? It's not so much his name is Pharaoh or his title is Pharaoh. It just means he's the owner of the house. He owns everything in the house, in the political house. Now, he has his own private house. All rulers have their own private homes, and they often get into office to increase their private home. I've been in office for a while. I didn't increase my private home. But that shows that some are smarter than I am. But a king is... So I'm going to write this down. He's the owner. He's the Lord. He's the master. Boy, I could just keep going on this. The guy that has it all, that's the top dog. That's the top guy. That's the guy that has a dome. He's the household. He runs his whole household, whether it's a political house or an economic house or a religious house or whatever kind of house it is. He owns it all. So in this case, God assigns to the earthly king or sovereign, he assigns a office here. So this is his office of trust. This is an office of trust. Now, in God's case, if this were God himself, as it is in the church, God himself is the ruler of this church. God does not, I'm not, the, how many know I'm not the ruler of this church? It's not my church. Pastor Jim's church. You could say Pastor Jim's church if you meant the one that he's serving. But you couldn't mean the one that he's Lord over. Right? So that's clear. But in political terms, who is King Henry VIII? Who is George Bush? Who is, you know, Nebuchadnezzar? Name any king you want. Who is the king? Who is the king? So they were asking Jesus, are you the king? Are you the earthly ruler of the Jewish people? They're a nation, the Jews. So are you the Jewish king? Are you the one who's head of the house? Do you own everything? Are you over everything? Are you the one that sets the laws? So here, I'll make this a little document here. Okay. So are you the one that makes all the rules and laws? So here's a little parchment or document. Here are the laws, and I'll call this the authority, because the laws are the written out will of the sovereign. So whatever the sovereign intends or wills or plans, intends, wills, plans, purposes, pleasures, you know, it's his pleasure. It's his pleasure. So don't, I know you're not, but don't be impatient right now. Be very careful, because you're going to get an understanding not of kingdoms, but of God's kingdom and of what God is, what we are, why we're here. And because of the not knowing, the church isn't able to do what the church is supposed to do, because it doesn't know what it's not supposed to do, therefore it can't know what it's supposed to do. You can't know the positive if you don't know the negative. You got to know them both. So a king, then, I'm going to put a little crown here for this king, a little crown, okay? So this is the gods. These are the gods. I'll put a little G here. These are the gods of the earth. Who is that king? Are you the king of the Jews, Pilate said? Because Pilate was not a king. Pilate was not the emperor. Pilate was not even the king of Israel. Herod was. Pilate was just working for the king. He was an agent, a subordinate. So I'll put Pilate down here. I'll put Pilate down here, and I'm not going to develop this, but I just want you to see where I'd put Pilate. I would say Pilate was a trustee. He was an agent. He was not the principal. He was a subordinate, an inferior, part of the subdivision of the empire. The king that was over him was Caesar. Caesar was his king, not Herod. Herod was actually under Pilate, because Rome was over Pilate. Rome was over Pilate, yes, but he was over Herod. So even though there was a king, and it was Herod in those days, he wasn't over Pilate. Pilate was actually over him, because the king over Pilate was Caesar. Caesar Augustus, Caesar Tiberius, Caesar Herod, but Caesar Nero, all kinds of Caesars. But the one in his day was Tiberius. And so Jesus began his ministry under Tiberius, not under Caesar Augustus. Jesus was born under Caesar Augustus, but he had his ministry during Caesar Tiberius. So who is the earthly king, and is he in an office of trust under God, or is he over God, or equal to God, or is he God? That is so fascinating and so interesting to each of us. Where are you? Where would you locate a king in this little scenario? All right? So now, whoever this king is under God, so I'm going to put office of trust under God. Now, this is very interesting. So an office was set up by somebody. Well, here's the guy under his left hand who set up this office, this political, civil, public office. So when it comes to politics, God is supreme. How many know that God is the creator of the universe? He created it. But he's also the lawmaker, the ruler, the judge. So God is lawmaker. So all laws are under him. Lawmaker, ruler, he's the executive guy. He's the legislative and the executive. And he is the judge, so he's the judicial. So God takes all three roles. He kind of hogs them all. And so he concentrates all the authority, all the power in himself. So he's going to judge the world. And he gets to do whatever he wants to do, because he's the king. He's not an earthly king, he's a heavenly king, higher. And he is the sovereign, the supreme, the ruler, the owner, the Lord, the master, God himself. He's everything. But he has a right to do whatever he wants to do. And so here's what he decides. In political terms, I will put under me an office of trust. And they will be called kings, but they'll be kings under me. So they're not really gods. They're subordinate. They're really servants of mine. So they would not be God, although they could be God over something. They have to be God over something only because they're God under him. Because he's the one that sets it up, because the whole earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, that doesn't leave anything left over. If the whole earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, that means everything in heaven, everything on earth belongs to him and the fullness thereof. That means I don't own anything. I don't own anything with respect to God. I'm just his steward. How many know that everything you have, the clothing you're wearing, you know, the money in your pocket, it all belongs to God. Nothing that you have belongs to you. Now, with respect to other people, you can defend it as yours because it's what he gave you in trust to hold for him for his purpose. But it's not yours to destroy. It's not yours to give to whom you will. You actually have to ask him, God, who's this dollar for? Who's this house for? Who's this tie for? Who's this dress for? I got to ask him everything. Who's this food for? When do I sleep? When do I eat? Why? Because he's the supreme ruler. He's the top, 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 top. Anybody under him isn't really one of his servants, one of his creatures. So this God down here is a creature God. It's a creature, not a creator. So to go back again, here's a trustee or an agent, a subordinate. So this is a subordinate, subordinate, subordinate. Now, I'm going to tell you what he's subordinate to. He's subordinate to this up here, number one, and he's subordinate to number two, and he's subordinate to number three. All the laws and authorities of this king over this king, who then spells out, and it better agree with this king. You better not make a law here that disagrees with the law up here. And you better not make a rule here that disagrees with the law here. And you better not make a judgment that disagrees with the law. So a judge should only judge what God has already judged. A king should only rule what God has already ruled. And a legislature should only make a law that agrees with God's laws. Do you all see that correspondence? So God is setting up the earth. I'll make a blue line so you can see heaven and earth. This is the line between heaven and earth. God is making a rule that is above everything so that you can line everything up with something. And that's something that you line it up with is God himself. So the first thing is the office. Who is the king? Who's the supreme? Who's the sovereign? Who's the Lord under God? The second thing is, and you have to check, you can't just put any old person in there, is what kind of power, the one above is authority. Now, what kind of power, this is authority. Ex, I'm going to write this in Greek, ex ousias, or ex ousiais in this case, ousias. Okay, that's the authority. And this one is the power, dunamis. How should power or dunamis, dunamis, how should power or dunamis be allocated, distributed? Should it all be in the hands of one person, like the federal government? Or should it be distributed, federal, state, local? Or should it be given judicial, executive, legislative? I mean, how far should you divide it? So you see, I divided it into nine parts here. That showed, and then each of the parts is subdivided and subdivided and subdivided. So that there's so much distribution that nobody is God. Now, see, God has it all combined in himself. But down on earth, he never allows any king, any lord, any ruler, any husband, any mother, anybody who has any power or authority to have full authority and power. A mother does not have a power over her body to do as she wishes. That's the abortion argument. No, you have to check with God, see if he's into abortion. You have to check with God, see if he's into divorce. You have to check with God to see, you know, how he would rule. Do you see that? So now I have laws, and then the laws, I'm going to make a blue line here between these laws. The laws describe how the powers should be distributed and allocated and used. And all little kids are always asking that. Now, Mom, are you my boss? Are you the boss over me, or is Dad?
They didn't want to get that straight.
Of course, the answer is dad. So I solved that one. So, you know, who's the boss over me? Am I the boss over me? And who bosses my little sister? And who bosses the dog? Because she knows she feeds the dog and tells him to get out of his way and so on. So maybe she is the boss. Now, do I decide what clothes I wear? And little kids want to know that always. Who's the boss? They want to know this little authority thing here. What's the line? What's the line? In an army, you have to have a general over all of the, you know, sergeants and captains and, you know, so on and so forth, majors and all that stuff. You know, now, what is the line of authority? Who's over, who's over, who's over, who's over me? I want to know where I am in that scheme of things. And, you know, what kind of power does he have? Does he have the power to make you shine his shoes? I remember when I tried to get into a fraternity and they made you shine their shoes to prove that they were powerful over you. And you had to go and shine somebody's shoes. And they, you know, they bring in 30 pair. I think they didn't have that many, but you had to shine them all. And then that proved who was the powerful person. And they could hit you and scream at you, and you had to wear a beanie and all that kind of stuff. Look like an idiot. And, you know, you were a college person, and you were free now. And now immediately you join a fraternity and you're under it. So I didn't stay long in that fraternity thing. I don't like being under stupid rules and things like that that, you know, they don't seem to be for my benefit. I like to be under things that are for my benefit. Anybody else like me? I like to be in a marriage where I get benefit. I like to be in a church where I'm the beneficiary. I like to be in a business where I get the benefit and the fruit of it. I mean, I just like to be benefited. I don't know if anybody else is like me or not. Is there anybody else like me? You know, I don't want just some. I like them all. Just give me all the benefits. You know, and then I'll redistribute at my pleasure if I wish. You know, but I like just like, give me all the benefit. Give me all the power. Give me all the authority. I'll take it all. So you like to know, what are the laws of this deal? What are the laws? And then what are the powers that are allocated and distributed? For example, in politics, one of the powers is a sword. So here you have a sword that is supposed to be under the law. And here's the law. Here's the law. Never use the sword except to stop the bad guy and protect the good guy. Oh, that would be a good law. So here's the law. Stop the bad guy, protect the good guy. That's a good law. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. So that is God's law. Bad guys out, good guys in. You know, that's all. Simple. So this power should never be used by the policeman for his own benefit. It should always be against the criminal and for the law-abiding citizen, the good one, me. And I've noticed sometimes a civil magistrate or one of his subordinates, one of his agents, one of his officers, will actually use the authority for their own benefit and not mine. I always yell and scream at them. I really get into it. I'll accuse them even. Hey, all these laws are for me. I don't see how that's on my side. Now I'll just yell and scream like that. And they want to yell and scream and beat you and stuff. I mean, they don't like that. They don't like to be challenged because they feel they have untrammeled authority. I just let them know, no, you have limited authority, and your authority is to protect me. How come you're not getting the criminals? You know, you're getting me for, you know, something or other, but you're leaving the criminal go free. What kind of a lousy thing is this? And I say stuff like that. I love that. Of course, you can get in trouble. Because that guy may abuse his office and abuse me in the process, and he'll probably win in court. But I have fun doing it. But you have to be careful. What are the laws, and then what are the powers that have been allocated and distributed to be under those laws? Because you don't want to have power over the law. I mean, imagine if you had power and you could do whatever you wanted and then you made the law. I'll just use my power and then I'll just put the law under it. If I don't like you, I'll just get you, and then later I'll justify it and say, well, that was the law. I'll make up the law. So then the power would be over the law. In other words, authority would serve power. Or a criminal does that. When a criminal is standing there with a gun in his hand, and he says, I don't care what the laws say, this is my law. Right there, he has the power, and the law, then the authority's under it. I have authority right now because I got the gun. So he's using the power to establish the authority, not the authority over the power. Hopefully, the policeman is going to be under the law, stay within the law, stay within the four corners of that document, whatever the statute or the ordinance or the law or the commandment is. But that doesn't always happen. Now, God, however, has set up something in heaven that we're supposed to copy. How does God use power? Well, he always uses his power to benefit someone other than himself. Me. Does everybody have that view of God? I feel that all God's power, all God's authority, all God's appointments and offices and everything are all for me. Woohoo! I'm telling you, that's a great view. That everything, including this trustee down here, so I better finish my numbers here. Now, that would be 4 right here, and this would be 5 right here, and this would be me down here. This would be me, 6. And then I got to have another guy over here, an enemy. Because every government has enemies. And we all have an enemy. His name is Satan. So you got to defeat the enemy. I'll draw him another color. What color should I make him? I'll make him, I don't know what color to make him. I'll just make him purple. I'll make him purple, and then I'm going to put a little pyramid here just to show this is a bad guy. I'll make it a ziggurat. Okay, so that little ziggurat is kind of typical. I always use this symbol. That's typical, something like that on your dollar bill thing. That's typical of human government. All the idolatry, all the immorality, and all the injustice of man in that order. Idolatry always produces immorality, which always produces injustice. So if you have any injustice, it's because there's immorality. If you have any immorality, it's because there's idolatry. Always, always, always. So I drew that little thing there. So this is the enemy of the trust that God set up. It's a hostile, opposite, against God, lawless situation. So I'm going to write that. I'm going to write that lawless. So this is the lawless power. This is the lawless government. Well, it's not a government at all. You can't even call it a government. It's just criminal, tortious, bad, evil, no good, out of order, not established by God, has no foundation. Therefore, it's not everlasting. It's temporal. Now, this enemy cannot now destroy me, or destroy the law over me, or destroy the powers over me, or destroy the officers and bribe them over me, or destroy the king over me, or destroy God. And that's his job. So God has set up an enemy over us. Amen? Now, I'll bring this all back to Scripture in a minute. But you have to understand how to sort it out, or you'll read it without comprehension. You'll read it understanding something, but not everything that God intended. And God doesn't write lightly. He doesn't write, you know, just something frivolous. He's very careful, cautious about every comma, every exact, precise word. And he's just using our words, the same words we use, but he can use them in a way that's so powerful, so beautiful, that they get the job done. And the job is to make me happy. So I'll make a happy face down here. I'll make it in red. Just show me happy. Yahoo! There's Jim down there. The happy, safe, and happy. Safe and happy. Safe from the bad guy, happy under God. That's me. That's our job as a church. That's our job as a nation. That's our job. Anything, morals, that's always our job. If you're a parent, your job is that your children are safe and happy. That's what we want. We don't want our children to be unsafe and unhappy. We want them to be happy. And if we have to spank them to get them there, we're going to get them there. You see that? Because I can always use the power as long as I use it for their safety and happiness. Now, I don't want to misuse it. I don't want to abuse it. So now you see all the numbers up here. So everything is very clear, very clear. I believe I'm clearer than any human being on the face of the earth. I don't think anyone is more clear than I am. I don't believe there's anybody out there more clear than I am. It's not personal. I'm just simply saying, I read it in the book. I just read it in the book. And I'll show it to you because then you can see it for yourself. I found out the secret. I found out the way God set up the universe. So God's in the heavens. He is the supreme ruler. And he sets up kings or presidents or rulers or sovereigns or whatever. Now I'm going to ask you a simple question and see if you can answer it. You have the numbers up there. Where would you put a king? What number? Would you put him over here, number 3? Would you put him number 4, a power? Would you put him number 6, the beneficiary? Where's the king? Where would you put him? Where would you locate him? It's not a trick question. It's just real simple. But you're going to get it wrong. So it is a trick question. You'd put it at number 5? She'd put the king down here. Anyone disagree? Anyone have another view? Okay, it's very, very interesting. Now, where does Jesus say kings put themselves? This is the answer to the universe right here. You get this answer, it's very, very interesting. Because everybody, as I said, wants to know, who's the boss? Who's got authority? There is no other question in the world but this question. Who's the authority? Where's Pastor Jim? Where's the mother? Where's the child? Where's everybody? You got to know this answer because it's everything. Who's the policeman? Who's the mayor? Who's everybody? I got to know where everybody fits. Here's the pattern right here. You're not going to ever change this pattern. So where does Jesus say the king is in this picture? I didn't ask what you think now. As Joyce, she knew what I was after, so she put it down there. But where does Jesus put it? That's going to be the verse I'm reading today. Number 4, as a power. Kings have and use powers like swords, and they allocate powers, but that's not their office. Their office isn't here. This is called the power, how it's allocated, distributed. Provision is made to fulfill this law, 3, with these powers, these properties, this race, this corpus, this is the thing. You're making these laws happen through this by these people. So, in other words, I'll ask it another way, and it's a get giveaway then. Is a king under the law, or is a king under the power, or is the king over the law and the power? This is a big question for King Henry VIII. He didn't like being under. And if he is under the law himself, and Rutherford wrote a book called Rex Lex, and he said, Rex, which is king in Latin, Rex, which is lex, is not the law. The rex isn't the lex. But the rex is under the lex. Rex lex. So that is a really interesting book, which I've read. Did you read it yet? You need to read that. That's your ancestor wrote that book to help you. And it's one of the greatest books ever written on politics because it solves this equation right here. Rex Lex. I have several copies, as a matter of fact. It's a great book. Now, if the king is here, which is correct, all earthly kings are here, then who is here? And have some kings not only wanted to be here, but here. They want to be over the law, over the powers to distribute them, and over the officers to abuse you. You see, if they're here, they've got to be servants. Now, I want to make this in another color. This is equity. Equity runs this way. I'll put another word, grace. Okay? That means even though the beneficiary is naughty, because the beneficiary is a ward, or the beneficiary is a free citizen, or whatever the beneficiary is, maybe it's an individual citizen of the United States, whatever that beneficiary is, equity should flow toward him. And the law then should go toward the enemy. In other words, the law should be arranged and designed for liberty so that you are left free. Okay? So you're left free. If Christ hath made you free, you shall be free indeed. So freedom is down here, but the enemy should not be free. He should be bound. So the law, here's the law up here, should not be to destroy or harm or injure or defeat the beneficiary. So I'm going to write now, beneficiary. I'm going to make that in red because it's important. This is the beneficiary. Beneficiary. Now, the beneficiary is the one who gets the good. In the Greek language, the word would be ou for good, and then it would be ergos or ergetes. Ou ergetes would be a good work or a benefit. Okay? Now, all the benefits of politics should go to the beneficiary. Every single one. No benefit should go to anybody else. All the benefits should go to the beneficiary. How many know that in a trust, it's all set up for someone else? Not for the benefactor. So I'm going to write benefactor up here. Benefactor. The benefactor is ultimately God. He's the benefactor. But so is the one that's in this office of trust under God. That also is a benefactor who makes the laws, who sets up the powers, who arranges them, who allocates them, who distributes them, who manages all those powers and swords and whatever else is in their monies, all kinds of things, for the benefit of the beneficiary. So whoever this person is an officer under trust, under the law of the trust, so that the equity goes to the beneficiary and not the law or a burden. Imagine then, the burden would fall here. So I'm going to put here, burden. All the burden would fall here on the king. The king should be burdened so that the people are blessed. Ha! Isn't that outrageous? That is amazing to me. And every king who has ever ruled on the face of the earth has always lied and said, I'm acting in the name of the people for the people's benefit. And he didn't. He didn't do it. Every politician always gets elected by saying, I will be servant to you. I will serve you. I will take the burden. I'll get you the blessing. Isn't that amazing? So here, the blessing, the good work, the blessing all goes to the beneficiary. And the burden all goes to the servant. So whoever serves God should take all the burdens on himself. I could put a little cross there to show you a burden. You know, you sacrifice yourself, you suffer, and let them be happy. You see that? You see that? So a pastor could either be a lord, trying to get into position two up there, who makes all the rules and all the laws, allocates all the powers, makes all the appointments, and then he would be the lord, the master, the sovereign. So he'd be number two. Or he can be a number five. A servant, a slave, just kicked around. The offscouring of the earth, That's what Paul said, you know, kind of like the off scouring. That's the stuff that's the trash, the dregs, the bad stuff. The off scouring. And so he said, you know, that's the slime stuff that nobody wants. He said, that's me. So a servant is someone who is, and God says, this in my kingdom, this is the way it's going to be. On earth, it's the opposite. The king tries to be here in number two instead of number five. Therefore, there's sadness over here. There's no beneficiary. The burden falls here, the benefit falls here, because the guy claimed to be here. And, you know, there are some kings that actually want to be number one here. They want to be God. They don't want to just be an earthly sovereign. They want to be worshipped. Y'all see that? Subtle. It's the history of the world. Right there is the history of the whole world. That is the history of the whole world. Now, I'm going to take the scripture, and I'm going to twist it and manipulate it and show you that it actually describes this perfectly. That everything that was set up in the world is wrong the way it's set up. The church is wrong and the state is wrong. Everything is wrong because it isn't following this divine revealed pattern from heaven. And I know it's wrong because Jesus did it the right way. When Jesus came on the earth, which job did he take? What number? Did he count equality with God a thing to be grasped, number one? Did he become the king of the Jews like Pilate asked him? Are you the king of the Jews? Could have said, yes, I am. And Pilate would have had to deal with him then. Well, what about Herod? You know, how do you want Rome to work together with you? You're going to be under us or you're going to try to attack us? You know, and Pilate wanted to know that. What kind of a king are you? And Jesus didn't talk about it. He said something like this. Is it just Pilate trying to scratch his head? What now? What? My kingdom is not of this world. Like, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? You know, and then he said something about truth. And Pilate said, what's truth? I mean, what kind of a kingdom are you talking about? Because in Jesus' kingdom is a little different. Remember, he said, the rulers of the Gentiles, they do it differently. The kings of this world, that's what we're talking about right now. Are the kings here, or are they here, or are they here? And Jesus said, you know, in my kingdom, it's not going to be like that. In my kingdom, the kings of the earth call themselves benefactors. I'm sorry, I said that wrong, didn't I? In my kingdom, he said, I'm telling you that in this world, the kings of the earth call themselves benefactors. But in my kingdom, they're not. They're servants. They're deacons. So actually, he says they're God's deacons. So I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write down deacon. Subordinate, deacon. A deacon is a servant. So I'll write that down. Deacon, servant. So that's what a king is in Jesus' eyes, because that's the way God set it up. So an earthly ruler, a mayor, a councilman, a president, a congressman, a judge, Supreme Court, king, emperor, all of them are just simply fives. Servants, the way God set it up. So the only office they can fulfill is not this one. So who belongs in this office? Who is the benefactor of America? Who is the benefactor of England? Who is the benefactor of any nation on the face of the earth if it isn't the king? He said the rulers of this world call themselves benefactors. Well, who is the benefactor then? This is the greatest confusion on earth today. Who is your benefactor? Are you the benefactor? Is God the benefactor? Is there a benefactor? Who? These little blanks, fill in the blanks, seven of them, they should have some reality. Put some names in them. Let's try it out. See where you fit. How many here are God? That's number one spot. How many would like to be God? You know? You don't want to be God. I'm just telling you, it's a tough job. It's a tough job. First of all, you have to know everything. That's one of the jobs you have to have. And then you have to, anyway, you don't want that job. But let's say we could get into job number two, and we could call ourselves, I'm the benefactor. Now, the only way you could be a benefactor is if you are one. Do you own everything? Remember, he said that to Job. Job, let me ask you a question now. When I created everything, where were you? He kind of put him in his spot. So the most you could be is number two, according to God. Of course, I can challenge him. And the devil did. It's exactly what the devil did. He challenged God. That's called idolatry. He tried to make himself God. That is wrong. Thank God none of us have ever tried that. We've never tried to be God over anything. Amen? You've never tried that, have you? Because that is folly. That would be foolish to get mixed up this basic idea here that you are the Lord over something. Now, you could be a subordinate Lord, too, and a benefactor if God appointed you. You got to find out who he appointed to be the benefactor. And I already told you, the benefactor is God's first beneficiary. And who is his first beneficiary? When God created the world, who did he create it for? Not Jesus. Who did he create it for? Yeah, mankind. Now, in a nation, it's not created for mankind. Though it doesn't exclude the idea. It's created for who? In a nation like America, who is the benefactor who was previously a beneficiary? Because if I'm given something by my benefactor, God, I got to see who he appoints, who's designated, who's the designated, intended beneficiary of God's nation creation. When he creates a nation out of an individual, a family, a tribe, a people, finally a nation, who is the intended beneficiary of that nation? Well, what's the nation for? The people. All right, now I'm going to say it differently. The people in aggregate. So no king could ever take the job of the people in aggregate that God appointed to be the beneficiary of his world, or in this case, his nation. So when he created the world, it was for all mankind. Which ones? The righteous. Why? Because if you're not righteous, you're like an animal. It wasn't created for you then. And you will be then threatened and punished. Because you're not the beneficiary he was thinking of. And God gets to decide who he intends to take the benefit of this earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. That's God's intended beneficiary, whoever that all is. Now, in the case of the nation, it's the righteous. Only the righteous, only the good folk, only the good and upright, we're talking civil good here, not spiritual. The civil good in a nation, those that obey the law, are seeking peace, living in harmony with their neighbors, and so on and so forth, they're the beneficiary of the national safety and happiness law. And our founding fathers, without mistake, every founding father knew exactly what I just shared here. There are no exceptions. There is no way that the founding fathers thought any differently than what I just said. They understood this perfectly. I mean perfectly. And I would be right at home with Madison, Jefferson, Hamilton. They didn't get along on other issues, but they all agreed on this, that the whole purpose of human government was for the safety and happiness of mankind. Well, I know where they got it, because I've read all the literature, and I know that ultimately it all came out of the Bible. It did not come from studying Greece and Rome, or Turkestan, or, some Italian republic under some doga. No, it came out of, they had read all of that. They had read everything about the Peloponnesus, and they'd read all the ancient civilizations and studied Egypt. And they had thoroughly looked into those things. Thoroughly. Those guys are more intelligent than we are today. They were clear. They were learned. They spoke umpteen languages. Most of them could read, you know, German and certainly French, and most of them had Latin and Hebrew and Greek. Not all of them did all of those, but I'm telling you, a whole bunch of them did. It's amazing. I mean, if you read Madison's works, it's loaded with Greek language and Latin terms and Ben Franklin. These guys were smart people. They weren't just out there hoeing their lawns. Slaves were doing that while they were reading, you know, good books. And they prized the books. I mean, they prized them. I mean, they every time somebody go to England, hey, bring me back, Blackstone's commentaries. There were more Blackstone's commentaries sold in America than in England itself. Everybody in America wanted to read that, even non-lawyers. And he wrote it in such a way that he agreed with me 100%. So I could live in the 18th century or the 17th century or even in the 12th century or even in the 1st century. And people would understand what I just said. So historically, I'm right in line with all of history. But today, total ignorance in this realm. And even those that understand the concept can't arrange it right. They can't fill in the blanks. Because the questions I just asked you, they cannot answer. They don't know where a president is. They don't know what the word sovereign means. These words have come into disuse or misuse. They no longer have their classical understanding or their biblical denotation or connotation. So, I was as ignorant as everybody else, but I read the Bible, and I kept bumping into things that I didn't understand. And then I tried to read all of the literature to see if I could get what he was talking about. So now I want to read, and I'll see if we can't clarify all this. Luke 22, verse 25, and he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles, where do we put them? Two, five, which? One, two, five. Where are the kings of the Gentiles? Five. But where do they put themselves? Now watch this, the confusion. Here's confusion right here. The devil is the author of confusion. Here's confusion. And Jesus notes this. The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Now lordship over is not service under. That is clear to me. That is clear to me. Lordship over sounds like somebody is in a two spot. Lordship over. That's a two spot. Because the way Jesus is going to correct this will be according to the biblical pattern, which is also the way the universe is built. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority, see the word authority up there, number two? No, number three. Number two has the authority, but he expresses that authority, what's called manifestation of intention. He manifests or expresses in language, either written or oral, he expresses it in a way that becomes a law or an authority. Law is authority. Every law that's a real law has authority. That means there's an author. So I could write up here, author. I could write author, because the authority comes from the author. But God is the author of the universe, and he has appointed some men, and we just declared that it's the people. It has to be, and I'm gonna write it this way, the way that history wrote it, the sovereign people, or the sovereign people, that is those in aggregate, that means kind of aggregated together, not soul, not simple, the body of the whole. In aggregate, all the people, they are the author. They will author and therefore give authority to or authorize the laws, the powers, and the offices. So here, whoever is the king, whoever is the sovereign, is not the king. It's the people. So political sovereignty lies in the political sovereign that God has appointed. Man, who's a king, wants to always ambitiously rise up and become a two instead of a five, so that he could be over the laws and he could be over the powers and he could then cheat the beneficiary, defeating God and destroying the beneficiary.
That's where we are today. That now the power is over the liberty instead of the liberty over the power. But the intention of God, who first set up this second beneficiary, was to bless me. And that would be liberty. That would be love. That would be for my benefit. Everything was for my benefit, as long as I'm law-abiding. Otherwise, I become lawless over here. And no benefit goes to the lawless. So why should the lawless put his man in here, who then usurps to here? So the lawless figured out the game. Huh, let's subvert the laws and take the powers to ourselves and destroy the beneficiary and defeat God's plan and take over these posts and get up here and we'll be God. It's very clever. Did you see the little game I played? That's a game. I've even thought of making this into a children's game. You can see how you can have two teams. The one being the lawless over here under Satan, trying to take over this nice system that God set up. This would be the Babylonian system. We could call this game Babylon. That's what the Bible calls it. It's a mystery. It looks just like God, but it becomes the devil. It's a mystery. It has the form of God, but the substance of the devil. So America was once a godly nation, and now it's an ungodly nation. Now, it never was a Christian nation. Cannot be. Christian is church. But it should be a godly nation where Christians are the light and the salt of that nation. And we should then have been involved politically to make sure kings stay down here and not get up here. But we, the people, didn't even protect ourselves as individuals, because we didn't protect ourselves as a people. You have to love yourself and love your neighbor as yourself. The secret to our republic was active Christians who were mature enough to be wise and to be virtuous. Now, we have people in office who, even if they entered office with some virtue, soon became fools and threw away their virtues and joined the lawless ones to the detriment of you, the voter. Now, you, the voter, are bearing all the burdens, and they're getting great retirement benefits and bribes from Monsanto, or whatever the name of it is, or Motorola, or, you know, Merck. I'm telling you, we just let the whole thing go to pot, and it's our fault because God didn't assign them. He assigned us, but we forgot because we are ignorant, we perish. For lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. Who then has the vision? Who can see how the church should be formed, and it's going to be the opposite of this. Jesus just said so. So that the state then could be a beneficiary of our prayers, of our voting and participation. But Christians, as it is today, they watch TV, surf the internet, goofing off, bound into materialism. They have become kings and gods in their own eyes. So the Christians themselves, and I don't blame the people, I blame the pastors. Where are the pastors that are in number five spot in the church? Servants who would be willing to sacrifice themselves for the benefit of the people, removing all the burdens. Taking away. There's more to it. I could make it even more complex. Because one of the things you can't get out of this picture here is a good education system. But in the church, we not only educate people according to the law, we educate them according to the gospel. We not only understand law, we understand equity. And we understand that the intent of number two, that is number one, is that the people be blessed, safe, happy. But who can grow them up? Can this world, with the power of the sword, grow up any human being? Never. You can only produce, at best, hypocrites. Because the sword says, if you do that, I'll punish you. And so a lot of people don't. But they're just hypocrites, because they want to. They want everything for themselves, because nobody matured them. Because it's the church's role to mature people from the inside. It's the state's role to control behavior from the outside. Totally Totally the opposite. Totally the opposite. Totally the opposite. Two different kingdoms with two different purposes. And yet they mesh together under God's excellent plan. So, if we ever took back the state, it would only be because we could get a number two to get down into a number five and let the number two be back there again. But I don't think that's going to happen if the church isn't doing what the church was supposed to be doing as a light and as salt. The light to show them the way and the salt to preserve them until we get there. We are no longer, as a church, salting the earth. It's lost its savor. It's trampled underfoot of men, put into the highway, in other words. It's now become common. Where then is God's plan? Where is his purpose? You might think politics has nothing to do with the church. Well, it doesn't. But on the other hand, directly it doesn't, but indirectly it does. Why? Because Jesus is the king. He's not just the king of Israel. He's the king of the whole earth. He's the king of you. He's the king of the church. He's the king over all kings. And so he has set up this trust, and Jesus himself did not make himself king. One time they tried to make him king, and he said, not ready, not yet. That's a kingdom that's prepared in the future. Right now, don't worry about it, Caesar. Stay in your spot right there. I ain't taking over. My kingdom's not of this world. If it were, my soldiers would fight. I'm not fighting. Vengeance is the Lord's. I'm doing a different kind of kingdom, and my kingdom will win over yours. It won't be long before it'll win over yours. But you thought it was the Roman Empire. Not so. No, that was Christendom, another lawless activity. We almost got rid of Christendom. The Reformation trembled and would not go that far. So the founding fathers of America broke it forever. Only they didn't. And we're still back in the same boat now. We're feudalistic again. Babylon has won again. Triumph one more time. What are we going to do about it? You have all the power. God appointed you. God appointed you. And if you would pray, you would have leaders. It's your prayers. It's your lack of prayers. Watching too much TV, you're not praying. So it's your own fault. Everything that has happened to us is your own fault because you wanted to be a beneficiary forever. But then you better pray that you'll have a good benefactor above who appointed a good trustee on your behalf. So the people are just waiting, you know, hoping they rapture out. Praise God, rapture us out before it gets so bad. This is a pathetic theology. To rapture out before the trouble comes? Where are the leaders among us? Where are those that are wise and virtuous who are willing to take all the burden themselves, have no benefit whatsoever? Isn't that funny? Where do you see such pastors? Where are they? Well, they're in small churches, like unto ours. Pathetic little groups. You know, they're in little living rooms. They're in the back of some corporation with, you know, 12 people meeting together. I'm telling you, the church is alive and well. It's just not in the mainline thing. It's actually taking place. It just doesn't take place here. It takes place in the homes. It takes place in quiet places, not in the public buildings. Because the church today is corrupted to the hilt. We now have no more pastors. But every once in a while, one will jump up. I love it. I love it. I like to study those people, read those people, go visit those people, pray with those people. There are some. There are quite a few, actually. So, you know, there's a pretty big group of us. So you just have to hunt for them. They're rare, but they're there. Amen? So I'm instructing you, and you can take it or leave it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. I'll keep going anyway. I'm not dependent on anything surviving because I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that on the latter day he will stand upon the earth and declare, vindicate those who have served him because the lawless don't win forever. I could wait till eternity to see him fail, but they might even fail in time. That's my choice. God's already chosen. He already showed me. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, get knowledge. They don't have any understanding. Well, get understanding. They have no wisdom. Well, they get wisdom. We know where to get it. It's there. And if you don't have it, pray. Talk to Jesus. He's the one that's the author. Get him the author you authorized is an authoring. You know, you don't have to change the Constitution. You don't have to change the documents, the Declaration, the Bill of Rights. You don't have to change those. You just have to get someone that'll do them. Today we have criminals running our government. We have criminals everywhere. They're in the CIA. They're in the office of the, you know, everything. They're everywhere. Supreme Court, they're everywhere. But there's also good people everywhere. You didn't pray. You didn't work hard enough. You didn't care. Well, let it go. Let it go. You got to let it go. It's one of your duties. Your duty is not just to know God and worship Him. Your duty is not just to love your neighbor as yourself. Your duty is also to render unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar and not that which doesn't belong to him. Render that to God. You imagine that God would want you to worship a king, to give account to a king. No. The king has to give an account to me. I'm the one who's the beneficiary. He's the trustee. You all see, everything got mixed up. It's all mixed up these days. Everything's crazy. But I don't blame the state. I blame the church. The church didn't know who it was. And the pastors don't know who they are. So you imagine that, well, we're going down the drain or something. Not at all. We're just, you know, drawn back to our true troops. Y'all. These are our two troops right here. Look around. You can see the strength of this group. The power. Don't worry. The best is yet to come. We never fail. Truth never loses. Light never loses. Ever. Love never loses. The things of God are for everlasting. Join yourself with God. Not naively, but with wisdom, with prudence, with virtue. Because God, I tell you, God actually likes the devil to win for a while, so when he overthrows him, everyone will know, wow, God did that. God brought Israel out of Egypt. And that same God brought Egypt out of Israel. There's the problem. Getting you out of the world is one problem. Getting the world out of you, that's another problem. I think the deeper problem is the latter. He doesn't want legalists. I'm out. Yeah, you're out in name only. But you still want onions. People still want onions. Ooh, onions. Garlic, leeks. I mean, the people are still hungering. You remember the days when we used to be slaves, but we at least had onions? Now we're free with no onions. They hated it. We're out here with lizards and stuff. They hated it. Man, it's just awful out here. The heat is killing me. Well, thank God for the little cloud, but, you know, I wish we had real air conditioning that we could control, turn on and turn off. I hate being dependent on God all the time. God, it's all right. I tell you one thing about God, he has a sense of humor. But another thing, he's persistent. Why that guy's persistent? He's going to hold out until he wins. Yee-hoo! I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. If you imagine that things are, you know, going downhill, you don't have a good report. I'm telling you, things are going our way. Everything's going our way. Everything. I can't believe how good it is. It couldn't get any better. Amen? I mean, think of the blessing for me to have y'all here. It's a blessing. I feel rich beyond measure. Woohoo! Do y'all feel that way? Can you give a good report? Or, well, Pastor, did you notice lately? And so I'm not into graphs and charts and so on. I'm into the Word of God. The Word of God says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. I do. So it is. That's it. That's a simple way to live, isn't it? Debbie, you should live that way. Everything's working together for you. You know why? You're God's beneficiary. I don't care what that whole system's doing. God, I'm a beneficiary of God. I'm going to start right there. God, benefit me. I'm not benefiting myself. I'm not the benefactor. I'm not even the trustee. I'm the one that all the laws are for. I'm the one that all the powers are allocated to bless. All those laws, number three, all those powers, number four, all those officers, number five, are all for me. Because number two was appointed to make those laws and those powers and those officers serve me. And if they're gone astray, well, then I'll just call on God, number one. Get it, mix it all up, God, and get it all going again. Amen? Because I can't be defeated because God can't be destroyed. Not going to happen. Someone says, I'm going to give a bad report. And there's a lot of books written right now of people that are well-meaning. And they're writing books, oh, America was once great. Oh, America used to be a godly nation. Let's get it back if we can, folks. I don't believe in those books. I don't want America to go back. Let's go forward. I don't want to go back to anything. Let's go forward. Y'all understand? I got the system right here. I don't even need to know the history of America for the last 200-300 years. I don't care about it. This is God's setup right here. And I happen to know what all the founding fathers wrote and said and did. I mean, you know, you got volumes like this of Madison. I own them. You got volumes like this of Washington, all the papers of Washington, all, you know, I got all those. I'm reading them. They're fun. They agree with me. I agree with them. We both agree with the Bible. You see, and I know exactly why they got to where they got historically, actually. It's no mystery to me. Because I understand Mystery Babylon. I'm not afraid of the big bad wolf. I don't care what the world has done. I don't care how bad it looks. I'm giving a good report. There are giants in the land, yes. But King David will knock them right down, one stone in the head. One rock will knock him over. Isn't that amazing? Then I'll just go and take a sword, his own sword, chop his head off. Well, that's the end of you. That's what happens to tyrants, despots, people that won't bless me. You better bless me or get it. You're going to get it. Are you like that? Don't you want more blessing? I mean, I know we got washing machines now, but we can get more than that. Thank God you're not, you know, down at the river right now, the Trinity River, with a rock and, you know, one of those old board things. One rock beating another rock with some clothing in the middle. No, you've actually advanced, but it's nothing. It's nothing. It isn't material benefits you need. You'll lose all those. They'll turn on you because they controlled you. That's how you got distracted. No, no. Those blessings are for you so you can serve the Lord, worship God, love your neighbor, and grow up and be a trustee, a true trustee. How many are ready? All right, listen to Jesus now. And the king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. They're only called benefactors. They're not. God's your benefactor. I'm not going to worship the government. I'm not going to thank the government for food stamps. That would be a benefactor. I don't want the government to give me a license. Did you know that George Washington never had a license? I need a horse license this month. You know, he didn't need any licenses. They didn't have that in the Constitution. That's not anything substantial. That's a control factor. Handing out licenses for water now, licenses for air. You know, it's stupid. But we've gotten so stupid, we are far off from where this nation started, where men were able to do this and that and so on, and the government didn't even have all those income taxes. They didn't tax income. Somebody thinks that that's an essential to government. It's not. What's essential is my liberty. What's essential is my benefit. That's something essential. Whatever is done, all the laws that are written, let it benefit Jim. That's the kind of government I want to be part of. I would expatriate myself to get to that kind of a government. But America, which was once great because it was good, is no longer great because it's no longer good. Now, it's not a problem. I'm not weeping over it. I'm just telling you, you better get back to God and find out what he intended. He's not going to have it. So as long as there's breath in us, then let's retrieve it. Now you say, well, Pastor, how would you go about it? Well, the first thing I'd do is I'd work on the church. I wouldn't even do anything political. I just do that for fun. I just do that to go and have a good time. See if there's any other people that think like I do. I'm not even making them. I'm just looking for them. That's the first thing I do. I don't even want to accomplish anything there. I just like being negative. I'm just there always negative. Ah, that's no good. No, that's not right. Well, this is the right way. That's the wrong way. That's all I do. And I do it with a smile because I don't even care. I'm working on the church. Look how well we're doing. We're down to the handful of pure people. Mature. I mean, look around. This is the best. Would you not say so? Let's see a show of hands and think this is the best. Yeah, because you're in it. Here's how you're the best. You're the best if you're a beneficiary who wants God to bless you. That's the best right there. That's the chair you should sit in. Hey, if you lose all the other chairs, just go and sit in that chair at least. The whole point of all that government, the means is 3, 4, and 5. That's the means. forget that two is all mixed up. I don't care about that. I talked to number one about that. He's the guy that started it. He's the guy that appointed the first beneficiary. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how it seems. My God can do anything. But I'm not even going to start with the nation. Let's start with the church. And let's start with our church. Let's start with our little group right here. We could turn this world upside down. One man plus God is a majority. You have all the advantages then. Imagine God having a man on earth like Jesus. One man. It's enough to conquer the whole world. And he did it. And he did it. And he'll do it again. Now, imagine he just had you. You were the only one that was true and faithful. It's enough. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Yahoo! Isn't that you? Man, is nothing too hard for God. And God's on my side, so I'm a majority. I'm going to win because I can't lose. How can I lose when I've already won? I got the God who's the king of the universe on my side. He has all the authority, has all the power, has all the ability to appoint the right people. He has everything. Just talk to him. Just get in your own prayer closet. Get connected up with the king of the universe. So let judgment begin in the household of God. Let's separate there. Our biggest problem in this church is not finding faithful people. It's get rid of all the unfaithful. Get rid of them. What good are they? And here's how you get rid of them. Win them over. Convert them. There are many people in our church that are immature. Well, mature them. There are many people that are pagans. Well, Christian them. just get going. You say, well, I don't know. That's not so easy, Pastor. I don't see any scripture for that. I heard the scripture say the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. So how many laborers do we need? One. I am. I'm a laborer. I'm laboring away. I'm in my five spot. I'm not trying to win anything. I'm not trying to increase my salary or, get people to like me or anything. I don't have any agenda except kill myself, lay myself down. I don't have an agenda. I don't want anything. I got everything. Woo-hoo! You all understand? It's for you. It's not for me. It's not doing me any good. You think I can't improve my conditions, my situations? I don't want to. I'll stay here and suffer and die with you. Amen? I'll be miserable forever with you. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. It doesn't bother me at all because you're worth it. You are worth it. No matter how stubborn and no matter how wicked and so on, I don't care how polluted, how compromised, how carnal, how confused. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I was once like you, and he got me. Maybe we might get one. Maybe we'll only get one. I'll get one. Probably be Peggy. I'll get Peggy. It's good enough. I'll tell you, if Peggy ever turns, you know there's a God. You know there's a God. Especially if it came through me. Wow, there must be a God because that couldn't have happened. Yahoo! Don't worry. Just sit in the beneficiary spot. Don't try to save the thing. Golly, that's the one thing we don't need is someone to want to be a servant ruler rather than a lord over. You'll just end up being a lord over type person. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll shape this place up. Well, we don't need that. Don't help God. My gosh, just sit in the beneficiary spot and get all the benefit. Amen? Don't get anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Just sit right there in that spot until you're ready. When you're mature, no one can stop you. I'll tell you, a mature believer, no one can stop them. When you are ready to bear fruit, you'll be mature. An immature plant doesn't bear fruit. Isn't that funny? That is so obvious. A seven-year-old isn't going to have a child. That just doesn't work that way. You have to be mature. And who's going to make you mature? You know how you get mature? Through what you suffer. That's my job. I'm doing my best. Try to cause you a little suffering. You're sitting in that little chair, trying to poop in the little thing. And I'm just getting you there. You sit there till you get that poop in that little thing. And that's okay. You see, that's suffering. That's my job. I'm a good parent. You get it in there, sweetie. And he's go, I can't, Mom. But the minute they stand up, poop, they poop right there. The minute they do it, they get it all over the house. See, and I know you sit in this room right here. All right, we're putting your potty in the tub. You get that thing taken care of. And so, it takes a while, yes, but it's worth it. It's well worth it. Now, here's how it ends up. But you shall not be so. He's talking to his believers now. He's not talking to Pilate. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he who doth serve. Now look, that's a five right there. Don't be a number two. That's already reserved for the whole people. And the individual people are number what? What number are they? Six. They're number six. And remember, seven's got to defeat six and five and four and three and two and try to defeat number one. It can't be done. I know we're going to win because nobody, the enemy can't, he just can't never mount up. They'll never make it. Don't be fooled by his yelling and shouting and how he appears. Today he looks formidable. Tomorrow, my God will put him in his place. The only thing I've got to do is sit in that little chair. Just sit down in your little chair. Just don't do anything. Please don't do anything. Everybody's doing stuff. Pastor, I don't like your message of don't do anything. I'm a doer. Well, I know you're a do-doer. You just do-do. It's not helping. You got to learn. Learn. Stop doing stuff. It isn't helping. That's you producing nothing. The Holy Spirit, he's in you to will and to do. I don't want you to do anything. You can't do anything. You need to die. You need to die. You know, little children need to learn who their boss is. They have the right question. Who's my boss? Well, is it two, three, four, five? Who's my boss? You see? So you can figure it out because God only wants trustees. He only wants servant leaders. Listen to what he just said. But you shall not be so. He that's greatest among you, let him be the younger. He that's chief among you, as one who serves. For whether is greater, which one is greater? He that sits at meat, sits at the table, or he that serves at the table? Which one is greater? Which one is greater? You go to a restaurant, and there's a waitress there or a waiter there, and they're serving you, and you're sitting at the table. Which one is greater? Which one is greater? The guy that's being served is the greater one because he's sitting at the table. That's the beneficiary. He's the Lord. He's the master. He's sitting at the table. That's Jesus. Jesus could easily be that. Jesus could easily be that. The one who's serving is number five. The one who's being served sitting at the table is number two. But Jesus says, I'm among you as one who serves. Even though I could be one, two, and so on and so forth, I'm taking the five spot to bless number six. You sit at the table. So number two is at the table, and he's putting number six at the table. Better to sit there. Just take it. Just let him serve you. Let me serve you. Let anyone serve you. I'll tell you what, people will fight that. They don't want to be served. They don't want to be served because what we're serving is truth. Oh, give me some lies. No, we don't serve lies. We only serve truth. Here, you need some more. I hate that truth food. Could you give me another lie? No, I'm sorry. You have to eat your spinach. You ever see little kids that they just hate eating their peas or whatever it is? Chewing and chewing and chewing. And my little kids spit it out into their hand when I wasn't looking and put it underneath the table. There was a little lip there. They put it underneath the table, and it stayed there for years. And when I looked under one day, it was all mold was everywhere, and it was hairy, and it's awful. And I said, what is this? And they said, Kara did that. I said, Kara did this? And Kara had taught Kirsten, and Kirsten had taught David, and David was teaching Margaret. When Dad says, sit at the table and eat your, you know, peas until you're done, they all learned whatever it was. You could put it under the table like that. And they all learned that, and they never told. They never told us. They were doing that until we found it. I caught them. And then I found out, and it was funny. But the truth is, we all do that. We don't want the food that the Father gives us because I don't want truth. But truth will set you free. It'll make you healthy. I remember once Peggy was giving him spinach, and Kirsten said this. Peggy will tell it better than I could tell it. But she said, you eat your spinach. It's good for you. Yeah, spinach make you strong. And what did she say? Spinach make me sick, Mama. It make you strong. No, it make me sick. But little kids are fast like that. Have you ever noticed how clever they are? How fast they are. Come right back at you. Because they don't like the food we give out. You see? But I don't care. That's all we serve here. We just serve this one kind of food. We're not serving the other kind of food. Other churches give out bowling alleys. They give out Starbucks. They give out crosses on the thing and, you know, all kinds of, you know, robes and stuff. We don't give out that. We don't even have stained glass windows. Thank God we have pews. That's about all. We don't have anything else. And if it hadn't been for the church before us, we wouldn't even have sloping floors. So the people don't have to, you know, it's a no effort to walk down to the front. You know, thank God for that. But no, we're not entertaining anybody. But I know there's always people that come to this church thinking they could help out. Pastor, you need some help here. I don't want any help. Let it fall apart. We'll get down to the dregs. We'll get down to the people that are faithful and true. Look at this. Look at, we're still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, we got people. You say, well, we're running out. Well, let us run out. So what? Don't you believe in God? Let's say we run out. Well, God will start it all over again. God will resurrect the dead. I'll tell you, people would come back from of old. Don't worry about it. There's so many fish in the sea. Did you know that? Besides, I'm on Social Security. I'm telling you, I just don't have any sweat. It's nothing. Hey, do you know that we don't have any debt? We don't owe anything on the building. We don't owe anything to anybody. Who cares? Who cares if it burns down? Who cares if it's, you know, going down to the tube? God is the one. Doesn't God, isn't he the author? Isn't he the finisher? Isn't he the provider? Doesn't he make our laws? Doesn't he make our provisions? Doesn't he appoint our officers? Doesn't he come through? Doesn't he love the beneficiary? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and he's still given, and he's still given, and he's still given. He won't fail. This message will go to the ends of the earth. It doesn't matter what it looks like today. We could write books. We could get on television. We could get on the radio. We can do a lot of things to make ourselves famous and great. Why should we? We're having enough trouble with the few people we have. Why get some more people all mucked up in it? No, no, no. Let's just win for the people right here. If I could get Nancy Kirk, ma'am, if I could get Nancy, bro, that'd be a miracle. Wouldn't it, Nancy? It'd be a miracle. Man, if we could get, you know, if we could get Colleen, oh, praise God. I mean, we've got some stubborn people in this church. I mean, really, really. But it's okay because I love it. I don't want easy. I want hard. Give me the hardest. And I, praise God, I've got it. I've got it. I couldn't be better. Am I complaining? Not at all. I actually want the worst. Why? Because burdens are what make you, crush you, destroy you, so that all you have is Jesus. He will show forth his glory. Because then when it happens, people say, wow, how'd that happen? Yes, they believe, man, you're finished. It's over. No, no, no. When it's finished and over, that's just when it's beginning. Amen? Here's Jesus. But I am among you as one who serves. I could be king of kings. I am number one and I am number two. And it's my laws, number three, and it's my provisions, number four. Everything is mine. But I'm among you as one who serves because I want you to get the blessing. Well, I believe you'll keep his word. I believe Jesus had just begun. I believe the best has been saved till last. I believe when you think it's only water, that's when he comes forth with wine. Just when you think, well, it's pretty much over. Well, stock has gone down. I mean, do you have as much fun as I do? Do you? Well, the other day, just for example, the other day, you know, the treasurer told me, he said, well, we're down a good 100,000. Wow. So is that bad, huh? I said, yep. And just that very day, someone handed me a check, a huge check. And it was funny. It was amazing. Just like that. He just made his report. I already had the check, but I forgot to tell him. And even when he was telling me, I was just, you know, like, well, praise the Lord. You know, but I mean, I didn't even remember that I had this big check. I mean, huge, huge check. That just somebody, he didn't even come to this church. I think it had been once, maybe. This came one time and was blessed. Wrote a huge check. Humongous. And I thought to myself, wow, it's unbelievable. Our God supplies all our needs. That's the race. That's the corpus. That's the provision. That's the power. He provides all our needs. Why? According to his riches and glory. He's rich. He's powerful. He's great. He's awesome. The best is yet to come. Amen? Now, I hope you learned something today about how the kingdom of this world works. Bad and good. The lawless and the lawful. And how the church has a totally different calling. We're not like the world at all. Even if the state were completely correctly operating, still doesn't help us. They still perish. We're the only ones that can perfect people. Did you know that? The state's only keeping people alive. It's keeping the bad guys off, like Al-Qaeda. It's keeping the criminals down, you know. And yet many of the people inside our government are criminal. And Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's in our government. Did you know that? They're able to infiltrate because we are sleeping. And it's our job to be the salt and the light. And we'll do it. Amen? Come on, we're from Texas. Yeah! God's good. The best is yet to come. Look at me. 66. Another month, I'll be 67 years old. Old. Just, you know, ready to keel over. But I'm vigorous. I'm excited. I'm excited. I'll probably drop dead this afternoon. But anyway, but the point is, you know, I already told you that my teeth are already falling out and stuff like that. But you know what? It's exciting to be a Christian. Amen? I don't have any negative thoughts in me. Think on things that are perfect, that are pure, that are holy, that are just, that are excellent, and so on and so on. That's all I ever think about. I always think about how good it is, what a blessing life is to me. And now we're going to Israel in another month or so. Oh, man, it's going to be powerful. I believe God will show up there too. You know, you're always more loved somewhere else than you are at home. I bet I'll go over there and people will think I'm somebody. I'll bet they'll like me over there. Well, Pastor Borchert, you're a blessing. I just know it. And it's always that way. But, you know, I am kind of well-liked around the world. Did you know that? People like me. It's only at home. They don't know. They don't know what a blessing. But that's all right. That's the way it is. It's just like that way in the family. I always thought my parents were, you know, whatever. Until you go out and you live with other people's parents. And you realize, well, you know, hey, my parent, thank God I had some. Thank God I had some. I thank God for my mother. I thank God for Mom. She stuck in there, one husband after another, till she finally, you know, wore them all out. She was the last of the Mohicans. She endured to the end. She loved me to the bitter end. She still had shaving cream for me and peanuts, and, you know, cookies and stuff. Jim, do you need any cookies? No, Mom. I thought you liked pecan sandies. Well, I know, but I'm trying to get off of them. Well, I have 15 packages here for you. She was good, you know. She knew. She'd heard. Other people had told her. He likes pecan sandies. To this day, people still sneak them to me. I mean, they just sneak them to me. They know that I said I was off of them, but they know. They sneak them to me. Every once in a while, I eat one. But, no, God is good. God is good. What are you? Don't be a servant until you're served. Don't be the one serving others at table until you're the one sitting at table. Start out being the one sitting at table. Little kids, little babies, they're not serving anybody. They sit there in their little high chair and squash their food and throw it around and put it all over their face. That's the way they do it. They like being served. Learn to be served before you serve. That's how you learn. Amen? I tell you, there'll be a time in your life when you'll go, you know what, I've received enough, I'm going to go out and get others. I believe somebody someday will go out and witness and bring in, you know, fill this church up. I mean, if everybody here filled up a pew all by themselves, that would be powerful. Hey, we could do that in a week. It wouldn't take much. But I don't care. Don't do it. See if you can run us into the ground. Just see if it's possible. I say it's impossible. You don't know. It's impossible. It's impossible. We cannot lose when we've already won. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. I believe if you will learn to be a beneficiary before you learn to be a trustee, then you won't try to be a benefactor. God is the only benefactor. And his beneficiary is the whole world who now benefacts us and then appoints officers that we can be blessed
blessed, blessed, blessed forever and ever. All right, hope you're blessed today. God is good. God is great. Father God, we just thank you for this message. We thank you, Lord God, that the best is yet to come. It's been saved. It's been set aside, portioned off. We don't even know. Just because it looks like there's nothing there doesn't mean there's not an inheritance there. It's a big one. Saved, set aside, secret. I thank you, Lord God, that when we set up this church in the beginning, it was secrets that you knew. And you're a great God, full of surprises and secrets to keep us going forever. Not only that, but to endure to all eternity. And so we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. You are our only benefactor, and we are your only beneficiary. Amen and amen.